Nazir Perek Vav, Mishnah Gimel, 6-3, and now the Mishnah turns its attention to the parameters of the restriction of hair cutting for the Nazir and when he's liable. So the Mishnah starts out by saying, Stam Nazir Shloshim Yom. The base default duration of Naziris, if one doesn't specify how long his Naziris is for 30 days. And actually, we've seen that back in the first Perek. That's not really news to us here, but we're introducing it in the context of the bigger issue of the hair cutting, as we'll see shortly. So now, gilach, if a person cut his hair, o shegilchuhu, or if other people cut his hair, list him as bandits against his will. So it doesn't matter whether he did it willingly or someone did it against his will. If his hair gets cut, so then, so ser shloshim yom, he's set back for 30 days. Now, the way the Bartanur learned this, which is like the Rosh and Tosfos, is that it's not that it sets him back necessarily, per se. It doesn't restart the clock or stop the clock in and of itself. It's just that in order to complete one's Naziris, he has to shave his hair, and then there's a procedure done with the hair. We'll discuss in a little while, and another Mishnah. And the point here is that in order to do that proper hair shaving ceremony, you need to have 30 days worth of growth. So if you haven't got that, you're sort of set back at least 30 days because you need to grow your hair again. So what would that mean? Let me just explain. If a person took on to be a Nazir for standard 30 days, and then 10 days in, he cuts his hair or his hair gets cut, so then at day 30, he can't complete his Naziris. He has to add 10 more days. So we can get a total of 30 days of hair growth. And on day 40, he could complete his Naziris with the hair cutting. So it's such a scenario where he was on day 10 when his hair got cut. He essentially is set back, so to speak, 10 days because he has to do a total of 40 instead of 30 days of Naziris. But if a person had taken on Naziris for 3 months and 1 month in he shaves his hair, so then nothing's going to happen. At the end of 3 months, he'll then be able to complete his Naziris because even though he cut his hair in the middle, and that's a violation, he can get his malchus and whatever punishment for that. The point is, come the three-month deadline, his hair has been growing for more than 30 days, 2 months' worth of growth, and that's sufficient to do the completing ceremony, and therefore, actually, he loses nothing. Such a scenario. In other words, to sum it up, if there are more than 30 days to go before his Naziris period concludes, so then a haircut won't set him back at all in terms of the number of days. That's how the Bartanur learns, like the Rosh and Tosfos. Worth noting, the Rambam doesn't agree with that. The Rambam understands that so such shloshim yom means he indeed loses 30 days. He has a 30-day setback, which would mean that if, for argument's sake, a person was 10 days into his Naziris and then he cut his hair, so he had 20 days to go before the haircut. So now he is set back 30 days. So he has to wait 30 days for his hair to grow. And then after 30 days, then he can resume the last 20. So in other words, what had been a 30-day Naziris now was extended to a 60-day Naziris. And that's true even if, again, he took on to be a Nazir for 3 months, and then after 1 month he gets his hair cut. So then now his whole Naziris will have to be not 3 months, but 3 months and an extra 30 days because of the hair cutting. That's what the Rambam learns. Now the Mishnah goes on to say, just make sure it's clear, the first point of the Mishnah was, the other point of the Mishnah was, that one has this potential setback or setback, regardless of whether he cut his hair or someone cut his hair for him, even if it's against his will. The Mishnah continues and says, Nazir shegilach, if the Nazir cut his hair, bein bezug, bein betar, o shesifsef kol shehu, if a Nazir cut his hair, it doesn't matter if he used a zug, just by funny coincidence, we just had the word zug in the previous Mishnah, referring to a bell. Here the word zug means something unrelated, it means a scissors, because zug in of itself, like a standalone, means a pair. So in the context of bell, you have the clapper and the outer part, so it's partner. And here, when it comes to scissors, you have two matching blades that go against each other. So that's called a zug, a pair, and it's scissors. So the point is, whether you use a scissors or use a blade or osha sifsef kolshu, or even if he plucked out with his fingers, he plucked out a hair. So it doesn't matter. Kolshu, it doesn't matter how many hairs are cut, whether it's one hair or all the hair. Chayev, he's on the hook. Meaning he's liable to malchus. As we said before, it's actually two sets of malchus, two sets of lashes, one for b'yachol devara, one for the prohibition against cutting his hair. Now, the prohibition that restricts hair cutting for a nazir says, ta'ar lo ya'avor al rosho. a blade shall not pass over his head. Now that's a lot of words. It seems like, again, like rhetorical flourish here. Why is the pasuk being so verbose? From which that is learned, our Mishnah here, that it's not just a tar, but anything that passes over his head, meaning even his scissors or if he plucks his hair, makes no difference. He's on the hook. If that's the case, so why should it be that we mention the tar, the blade at all? So, many before I should learn, it has to be that the cutting of there has to be blade-like, meaning down to the root. So he plucks out from the root, or he cuts with the scissors down to the root, and at that point, and only at that point, one would be liable, but if one just, you know, trimmed his hair and went from, you know, 6 inches to 5 inches, that would not be a problem of, it might be an iser, like a chatashir iser from the Torah, but it wouldn't be one that incurs a penalty of malchus because it didn't cut like a blade. There are shitas that understand it doesn't have to be at the root actually, but just like kind of close enough that you can't fold the hair over on itself. Okay, there's a slightly different shear on this, which has also ramifications to how close one may shave his beard, etc., or his payas, I should say. How close one can shave his payas. In any case, okay. The Mishnah goes on and says, Nazir chofef umefas pes. The Nazir is permitted to chofef and mefas pes. According to the Bartanura, chafifa is to rub his hair like with his hand, and mefas pes is to scratch his hair like with his nails or like even with like a hair scratcher or some kind of device. Even though, of course, it's possible that by rubbing or scratching one's hair, hairs could come out, it doesn't necessarily have to come out. And this Mishnah goes like Rabbi Shimon, the famous Shita of Rabbi Shimon, that davar she'enu miskaven is mutter, that if a person does something which he's not intending to do the violation that the Torah prohibits, even if it happens to lead to that, it's permitted to do lechatchila from the outset. So in this case over here, we said the Nazir can't remove even a single hair, but scratching his hair may or may not remove hair. So it's permitted to scratch his hair, even though it may come to, you know, there's a chance that the hairs will be removed. Mm-hmm. Worth noting that there are other shitas. There, in that explanation, like the Bartanura, goes like the Perish, the Ram Perish Mishnayos, but the Rosh Tosos learned that Chafifa, chofef, is to like essentially wash one's hair, like let's call it shampoo, if you will. So, and chafifa is to scrub like with the detergent, whatever, the shampoo. And mefas pes is like to separate the hairs, like, you know, from being unknotted, but not with a comb. At all events, says the Mishnah here, avalo sorek, the Nazir is not allowed to comb his hair. Now the reason why is because when one cones his hair, so hairs essentially are certainly going to be plucked out. And although the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Shimon that a davar she'enu miskaven is mutter, if you do something you don't intend to do the prohibition of the Torah, you're doing something else, I'm just washing my hair and not plucking hairs out, so that's permitted. But if it's a certainty or near certainty that the violation will occur, so whenever you brush your hair, comb your hair, hairs come out, so then it's no longer just simply a davar she'enu miskaven, it's also what's called a psik resha. An expression which probably is familiar to you from the world of Hilchos Shabbos. Psik resha literally means like a removal of the head, and it's a reference to, in Hilchos Shabbos, something very similar, but a different context. In the good old days of the Talmud, little kids, what did they play with? So one of their toys, go-to toys, was a chicken head. And how do you get a chicken head? You got to cut off the head of a chicken. So the question is, can one remove a chicken head to give it as a toy to a child, when the result, of course, will be that the chicken itself is going to die, and slaughtering chickens is one of the lamatas malachas of shochet, of slaughtering. So one might say, listen, it's a davar she'enu miskaven. I don't care if the chicken lives or dies. I just want the head to give to the kid. The answer is no, it's forbidden, because although that's not what you're mitkaven, you don't intend to kill, slaughter, shech chickens, but it's certainly going to happen. And therefore it's for prohibited. And any scenario where it's a davar she'enu miskaven, you're not intending it to happen, but it's certainly going to happen, it's called a psik resha. So over here we're saying that combing one's hair is certainly going to pluck out hairs, and therefore it's a psik resha, and therefore it's forbidden to a nazir to ever comb his hair. Worth noting, this kind of has ramifications, l'halacha, because plucking out hairs is also the malacha of gozes, shearing, which one may not do on Shabbos, and therefore, basically, one can't comb or brush his hair or her hair on Shabbos, because hairs will come out and that'll be forbidden. But there is some leniencies if one uses a very soft bristle brush. wide bristles, soft bristles, exactly how wide, how soft, and so on. It's certainly not for me to answer right now, but the point is, it has to be a scenario. If hair is going to be plucked out, it would be forbidden to do on Shabbos at all events. But we're talking back to the Nazir over here. So, now, Rabbi Yishmael adds one more thing. Rabbi Yishmael Amer, lo yachof ba'adama. One can't, according to the Bartonor, rub his hair, and according to, that's called Tosfos, one can't wash his hair ba'adama using earth. Because once one introduces earth, so it becomes much more frictious, and it's much more likely to pull out hairs, as one rubs his hair with the earth or washes hair with the earth, it's going to grab hairs and pull them out, as the Mishnah says, "Bepnei shemasheres es haseir," because it is likely to rip out hairs, so it'd be prohibited. There is a bit of machlokas over here, if Rabbi Shmuel is arguing or not. The Bartonu says the halacha is like him, which would mean that one couldn't rub his hair with earth. In any case, so that would be the halacha.